I'm asking for you to pray for me through this service, that God's going to use this vessel to bring forth this word.
Oh, Jesus.
What he's going to say, let him say forth through me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight. God, for the word you've given, this word of truth, God, that is available, a word. God, I'm asking, Lord, that this word would go forth throughout this congregation. For each and every one of our minds, God, let it be purified by your Spirit. God, I pray that you pierce our hearts with your very truth. For your ever-present help, God. We know that your arm is not short. You cannot reach where we are right now. I'm asking, God, that you move mightily in this service. God, yes, that you speak to those that are here that you would like to speak to by your Spirit.
In Jesus'
name. Give you glory and praise,
Lord.
Jesus,
Lord, we thank you.
May be seated.
Amen.
Old preacher said once, preach them happy or preach them mad, but don't preach them lukewarm. Amen? Don't preach them lukewarm. So we're not going to do that tonight. That being said, what is sin? The Bible says this in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I'm going to use the NIV version for this particular part. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and that alike. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, why do I say these things? So many times, even in the church houses, many times, it's not brought forth sin. What it is, make sure it's clear. In a world that's not clear, that don't know if they're a boy or a girl, with things that are going on in the world is trying to infiltrate the very church.
Right.
We must know and understand what the Word says and what it stands for.
Amen.
Not for argument's sake, but for purity, for holiness. For we are called by His name. His mark is upon our head, not the world's.
Right.
Do you know who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you?
Right.
Are you hiding something or are you hidden in Christ?
Mm-hmm. Good.
The title of this message tonight is Hiding or Hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You're made up more than what can be seen. You're a body, but that's not all you are. You're a spirit and a soul. Right. Amen?
Amen.
We are. Where do you find your mind drifting when you have nothing to occupy your time?
Right. Come on.
Hello?
Come on.
What do you find when you have nothing else going on in our busy lives? And I know that's a difficult thing to say, that I'm always busy, my mind's always moving. I've always worked many, many hours a week. Brother Chris was visiting the other night on Wednesday night talking about how many hours a week he works. And I understand that completely. All of my life, I've worked 60 to 80 hours a week, all my life. I don't know any other way. I was more of a workaholic, if you will. I kind of thrived on that work and to be able to accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things to do was to mow the lawn so I can look back and have instant gratification. Amen?
Yeah.
I loved that because it was something that I could see immediately.
Right. Yes, sir.
But also, when you sit back and you have a moment to think, what is your focus on? It may be things that are difficult, things that are going on the line, things in your life, what you're planning on doing tomorrow, maybe even what you're going to have for dinner. But if my mind is set on something, my affections are surely to follow. Amen?
Yes, right.
That's what's going to happen. If my mind is set on something, I have been guilty of this many times in the past when I was younger. I would go down to the motorcycle shop or the car lot. I'm a car guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. I've been redeemed from that. I don't buy cars over here anymore. It's been many years. Praise the Lord. But I would go down and I would go and I'd look at this particular motorcycle. And I would look at it and I'd say, man, that's nice. And I'd listen to the salesman spiel, but It's like it's going through this year and out the other. I already know what it is. I've already read everything about this life before I ever walked in the door. I already know that I want it, but just going to let you go ahead and sell it to me, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't really have to do anything. I was going to go ahead and buy it and walk out the door. Whatever's going to happen. But what I did was I set my mind and thought upon it, and my affections followed. And therefore, I put my money down. Do you see how it works?
Yeah.
So whatever your mind is set on, eventually your affections are going to follow that.
Right.
And you're going to go forth
good
and make something. It's going to start here before it ends up here.
Right.
Amen?
Right. Yes, sir.
It's always going to. So if I set my mind on Christ, my affections are going to follow where my mind is set.
Right.
The Word of God tells us to set our minds and affections on things that are above.
Right.
Why? Why what we need? That kind of mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why would I need that? Why would God tell us that this is something we have to choose to do?
Right.
Choose to do.
Choose.
God's perfect love gave us freedom of choice to choose His, our way.
Uh-huh.
Amen? Every day you wake up, you must choose who you're going to serve.
Right.
Is that what the Word says?
Uh-huh.
So therefore, I must have an opportunity to make a choice, deciding if I'm going to go my way or I'm going to go the way of the Lord. What is He going to do in my life if I lay my life down as that true living sacrifice, which is my reasonable service,
right,
because of what He has done for me? Then therefore, there must be a purpose that He has. He's beginning a good work in me. Therefore, He is faithful to finish it.
Yes,
is
yes
He not?
He's faithful.
So therefore, if I look at it each and every day, that what He is going to do today through me, Satan uses our very freedom of choice to set traps, throwing fiery darts of doubt about, does Jesus really love me? Is Jesus really going to move into my situation? Every time he uses that very freedom that Jesus gave us to choose Him, he uses it against us by saying, does He really love me? Does He really love me? I wouldn't be in this situation. If He really loved me, He would be moving on my behalf. Come on. Is He the way maker or is He not? Don't let the enemy lie to you and say that you are not loved by the Most High. Because He does love you.
Yes, He does.
Loss of focus and distractions come in all forms and from every direction, but they all accomplish the same thing. They take you off course. Distractions
right.
take you off course. So every day you're going to find the enemy trying to find a way to take you off course. If you decided, I'm going to fast today, your best friend's going to call you and say, let's go have some ice cream.
Yeah.
Let's go to Callahan's and have a steak. I'm by.
Uh-huh.
It's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because you set your mind and you set it, and I'm going to do it. Therefore, you're going to have to choose
right.
what you're going to do.
Follow through.
Will I follow through or will I fold?
Mm-hmm. Right. Come on. Good, Brother Jason.
Heidi typically associated with shame and disgrace, but being hidden in Christ causes us to be more like Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Being hidden in Christ will make me more like Him.
Right.
The whole purpose from Genesis to Revelation was about Christ. That was the revelation. It's that everything that we do and every purpose that we have is here, is to serve Him.
Right. Right.
What is our purpose?
Right.
If it's not for that.
Yeah.
He's given us eternity.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have eternity somewhere.
Right.
I want it to be with Him. So if you want to write down points, this is my point one. Is it your identity or is it His?
Right. Yes.
Identity is everything to people
mm-hmm.
today. We see it everywhere. We see it on TVs. We see it on billboards. We see it. We hear it on the radio. We tend to center our lives around ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
True.
Do we?
Yeah, true.
I wear clothes that fit me or almost. I wear shoes that I like. I drive a car that has fuel in it. Mm-hmm. I pretty much go where I want to go. We kind of center things around ourselves, do we not?
Yes.
We love to be seen.
Uh-huh.
To be noticed. And we seem to like to want to make a name for ourselves. I know I'm stepping on toes, but it's mine too. How many times, how many likes did I get on this 15,000 selfies I made today? How many likes did I get on Facebook? Anybody guilty? And you see that their chin is a little bit higher because we don't want to show some of this.
Just feel like me. Just grow something right here.
Ladies, I'm good luck. So, but the thing is we're so wrapped up in ourselves in that place. And we're all guilty. Okay? I preach to me too. No one is immune to this. But the Word of God teaches an entirely different perspective. Christ came to serve from humble beginnings. He didn't come as a king to this earth, but he came as a servant. Mm-hmm. The next time he's coming as a king.
Yeah.
So the Pharisees couldn't figure out why he didn't want to be the king. Mm-hmm. Everyone tried to drag him into the point of being the king, but he came to redeem man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not the building, not what people thought. He didn't come here to be the king of this earth. He made it.
Right.
He owns it.
Yeah.
He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. It has his brand on it.
Yes, it does.
His mark.
Yeah.
So why did he come? Did he come to redeem the earth? Just like that. It can be redeemed by just one word. Just like when he spoke it, it became, it could do it again. But no, he came because he loved us so very much that he come in person.
Right.
Amen. I want a personable God. I don't want a piece of wood that I'm going to worship. I don't want something that's made out of stone that doesn't do anything.
Right.
I want a God that's going to be personable to me, that's going to speak to me, speak to my heart when I'm in a down and dirty place. Where I need a redeemer, where I need someone to give me a hand, this arm is not short. He can reach me wherever I may be.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I'm going through. He's already there.
Amen. Yes.
He's able.
He's able.
The world tries to get us hung up on what people think. But our identity is not found in what people think about us. Our identity is in Christ alone.
Amen.
Christ alone. Our life displays our identity when it is lived before the world in such a way that others know Jesus through it. Does your life reflect Jesus in the actions and words? Your lifestyle will say more about Jesus than your words will ever speak. Mm-hmm. We all know that they're going to read your life more than they're going to read the Bible. We've heard that all our life. And that's very true. That's very true. It may not be the way it should be, but it's very true. What do people see?
Yeah.
Remember when Jesus went to his friend Lazarus' house? Martha was distracted by much serving, while Mary sat at Jesus' feet. What they chose to do said a lot about how they felt about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hmm? Right. Things need to be get done, right? I'm a get done kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I like things to be done. I like to be in order, I like organization, I like things to be done. I understand that. But when Jesus walks in the room, do we look to him? Does Jesus become more tangible to those around us? Scripture tells us that those around us see how much or how little we are hidden in Christ by looking at two things. Now I've got your attention.
Come on.
One is, how do you treat Christians, others like you, and non-Christians? Pretty simple, isn't it? So how do we treat people? You're going to be challenged by this each and every day. Whether it's being driving at the stoplight, or the guy that pulls out in front of you, or the person at the teller, or the lack of service at the restaurant, or the co-worker, you're going to be challenged by how you're going to. Why? What would be the purpose of that?
Come on.
Yeah, there's a purpose in it. There's a purpose for us to show Jesus Christ. The whole purpose is that if we show Jesus Christ, no matter how difficult it is on us, no matter what's thrown at us, whatever's spoken to us, however we're spoken to, we're going to return it with Christ.
Yes.
I want them to see Christ because I can't do anything for you. I can't save you.
Right.
But He can.
But He can.
So if you can see Jesus in me and Him flowing through me, then you have a chance for eternal salvation where I cannot give you that as Jason.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to save you, but He can. So if you can see Jesus in me, what greater purpose is there? Luke 9:23 tells us that we must take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. This means denying ourselves and leaving behind anything that might prevent us from being faithful to Christ.
Yes, sir.
Samson had a calling fulfilled, to fulfill that he led a relationship with the wrong woman, distract him from his purpose. Samson's identity was established in God, and his Nazarite vow was part of who Samson was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't added to him, it was part of who he was. Right. Now follow me. Distraction was an enemy to Samson. It pulled him out of his calling.
Right. Come on.
The enemy's always going to try to distract you, to pull you out of your calling. Your calling may be to speak to that person that is hurting, that will not tell you at work. They may be angry, and you may say, what is their problem? But what we're not hearing is we're not listening when the Spirit of God saying they're hurting because no one's speaking to them the truth. The Word of God is the only infallible truth. So if I am going to help them, it's going to go by the Word. It's not going to go by my opinion. It's not going to go by Oprah. It's going to go by the Word of the living God. It's going to be only God that's going to make a difference.
Amen. Yes.
Amen? It's not going to be me. I'd be foolish to say that I'm going to be able to help you anywhere. I can give you encouraging words. I can give you a pat on the back. I may shake your hand. But I am not going to get you eternal salvation. But I know who can.
Right.
So if you can see God in me, then I have an opportunity to share the gospel of truth. So when you lay your head down tonight, you will have peace that you've been seeking. You will have salvation and know that your eternal life is with Him. Not in yourself, but Him.
Yes.
We must remember who we are in Christ. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yes.
Because we have received a new life in Christ, we should put on the new self daily by renewing our mind. How is this done? Well, that's a good question. By setting our minds on the things of God that are eternal. Not on the distractions that deter us from the living according to God's Word. Again, Colossians 3:2-4. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. If we are truly just traveling through here, then my affections are going to be where my home is. It's not going to be over here on 14:3-4. It's going to be in heaven because that is my true home. I'm just hanging out here for a while. This is not what I'm worried about. I am here to build His house, not my own. My purpose has got to be deeper than the flesh.
Yes, amen.
So if I'm going to do anything worthwhile for the kingdom of God, it's going to be through the Word of God.
Yes.
Being hidden in Christ is a state of being in which you are abiding in the Word of God, and the Word of God is abiding in you. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life.
Yes. Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So when the enemy comes to you and says, I am going to condemn you from your past, but you are under the blood, you say, you are a liar, Satan. Get behind me. I have none of that. in me. I am a new creature in Christ. I don't have to be that old man or old woman anymore. Because that one does not longer exist.
Right. Yes, sir.
I take it to God. He's going to say, what were you talking about? Because his blood is greater than all. And when it's done, it's done.
Yes,
he didn't say, I'm going to go ahead and remember it again.
No.
Whenever you mess up, I'm going to go ahead and pull that blood a little bit off. No, the blood.
Blood of Jesus.
There is nothing else greater than the blood of Jesus. If it washes it white as snow, it's not our worldly snow. It is white as he says it is.
Yes, amen.
The one infallible truth of God. That he has washed it away. Not man. All the dawn in the world can't wash all of your sin away, but the blood of Jesus can.
Yes, amen.
Now,
yes.
Being hid in Christ means that your identity has been established not based on anything that you have done, but on what Christ has done for you. Thank you for the grace of God, his precious mercy that he has spent on me and you. Point two, if you're taking notes, are you hiding? The Bible tells us what you set your mind on, your affections will follow. David was in the wrong place at the wrong time in the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war.
Right.
David sent his entire army to fight while he stayed in Jerusalem. King David's responsibility was to be with the men in battle, but he allowed himself to be distracted and found himself with Bathsheba and ended up committing adultery and killing one of his very own men that was more faithful in battle than he.
Right, exactly.
Did you hear me?
Come on.
That was more faithful than he in battle. If you don't believe you're in battle and war, you're in spiritual warfare each and every day, get on the firing line, as the old song says.
Yes, sir.
We're in a battle.
Yes, we are.
Every single day. So if we're distracted by what the enemy's going to bring forth, then we're not going to be on the firing line. We're going to be looking around. Well, what's going to cross my mind right now? But if I set my affection, set my mind on God and those things above, my affections should surely follow those. They're going to follow those, and I'm going to be on the firing line because there are souls at stake each and every day. There's friends that may sit on this pew that needs my help, that needs God to speak through me to give them word of knowledge, to give them what God is saying, so saith the Lord. Does he not speak through man?
Yes.
It's through man that God chooses to use us. If you take sin into your bosom, it will destroy. Do you have something hiding in your life? Tucked away, you think no one knows like David did?
Come on.
Did it stay hidden? You know the story. Did it stay hidden? Did it bring forth death? A man that was honorable and fought the battle died because of sin. Not only did that, the baby died. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Was it hidden? We have all heard God knows, but some of us don't seem to let that grip us. We are more concerned about what everyone else thinks.
Come on.
We want to look like it's not there. We must see that if we are not engaged in spiritual warfare, you will be enticed to look at the world and what it has to offer. It will look so good, as Bathsheba did to David, but in the end, it will bring death.
It will.
We must stay on the firing line, as I just said. We have the weapons for this warfare.
Yes.
But we must choose to pick them up.
Yes, sir.
Do we put on the helmet of salvation every day? Why is it the helmet? The helmet of salvation. So every dart that's fired against your mind,
right,
it's always going to be your mind. It's against your salvation, ultimately. If he can get you deterred and move to pride, it's going to take your salvation if you don't put on the helmet.
Yes, amen.
We focus so many times on the sword and the shield of faith.
Protect our mind.
It starts in the mind. That's why it's the helmet of salvation.
Yes, sir. Good, Brother Jason.
Now, Trying to hide something from God will have you trying to wear the mask of self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. Anybody else guilty of that?
Mm-hmm.
I like to get things done. Mm-hmm. I like to be self-sufficient. So much when I move things, it hurts my back because I should have asked for help.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not the only guilty man in the room, and there may be a few ladies along with us. But we like to be self-sufficient. Eve lived in a place where everything that was needed was provided. But the serpent, the devil, distracted Eve when he said, when she was isolated from Adam. He lied to her, convinced her that what God really said wasn't true. And once Adam and Eve swallowed the lie of the enemy, they were found hiding from God instead of hidden in his presence in the garden.
Uh-huh.
And they tried to be self-sufficient by covering themselves with fig leaves.
Yeah.
Fig leaves.
To cover up.
Trying to cover their sin with fig leaves. Man made. But God, out of his mercy, the shedding of blood.
Yes, sir.
Give them animal skin. Only by the shedding of blood is the remission of sin. But now it's no longer pushed back, but it's redeemed forevermore.
Redeemed.
Only by choice.
Yeah.
We need someone to lay hands on us. We need someone to pray the prayer of faith. We need someone to speak a word of knowledge. We stumble. We need someone to pick up and give us encouragement and pray.
Mm-hmm.
What am I saying? So many times out of this self-sufficiency, we decide, I don't need to go to church on Sunday night. Yeah. I don't need to go to class on Wednesday night. I'm going to go do something else. But the word says, don't forsake the assembling of the body.
Right.
And as you see the day approaching, assemble more, basically. Does it not say that?
Yeah.
For this in its very purpose, our self-sufficiency, we will decide to do it on our own and tell the devil, our enemy, deters us and our focus to something else.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah.
You got to love me to make it heaven.
Love you.
Come on. You got to love me.
Good preacher.
You got to love me. All right. I want to keep repeating to you that the word is telling us to set our minds, our affections on Christ. No matter what you do or how holy you act, it goes nowhere if there is some sin hiding in your bosom. In Joshua 7 and 7, it tells us that a man named Achan took of the accursed thing and hid it. God had told his people not to take anything that belonged to the enemy, but Achan felt like he could do it without God knowing.
Uh-huh.
He took the gold and hid it. He probably dug a really deep hole in his tent. He probably really thought he hid it well. But sin will be found out.
Yeah.
Sin will be found out. And that disobedience cost life.
Right. Yes, it did. Bunches.
Three. Are you hidden? David wrote, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. David's intent writing these words is remarkable. He didn't want to sin in his life. You can see that David went from hiding with Bathsheba and God exposed it to now saying this. Hide your word in me.
Yeah. In me, O God.
In me, Lord.
Yeah.
So I may not sin against you.
Mm-hmm.
So if the word's in me and my focus is upon him, my affection shall follow. Therefore, where does sin have it? To hang its head. No place. There's no place.
No place.
So you see where he is crying out to God and saying, hide your word in my heart so I won't sin against you.
Yes.
God calls us to live in the world but not be of the world.
Right.
That means we are called to live in the world but not allow the world to be our God.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, my older brother had a friend. His last name was Butts. You heard me right. As some chuckle. That in itself was the problem. B-U-T-T-S. You can imagine the ridicule. The name calling throughout school. They were friends for a long time. He was a couple years older than me. But as we got older, you know how people separate from their friends? You don't see them so much. I heard that he changed his last name. Because he would get prank calls all the time of somebody having a good time with a phone book. Yeah? Mm-hmm. They call it bullying now, but back then, we just called it stupid. I didn't have enough words, sorry. So, I was thinking to myself, how sad it was that he had to change his name because of being pushed by those who wanted to be lewd and crude.
Right.
Our friend gave up his name given to him by his father because of the pressure of those around him. He was hidden in his father's identity, in the name of his father, but he gave up that identity because of those around him. People he didn't even know caused the pressure to be so much that he gave up his heritage. Now hear what I'm saying, church. Like our friend, we as Christians can be pressured by the world to change who we are and what we believe. If we are not careful, we can allow those around us to tell us what the Bible says and not the actual truth of what the Word will tell you.
Right.
Come on. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the Word of God? Is this telling you how to live your life, or is your favorite Facebook prophet telling you how to? I'm not downing them. There's a lot of good stuff on there. And it's a good tool to use. But my point is this. If you do not know it for yourself, then there, how can you obtain it? How can you know it without reading it? How can it get into you in every fiber? How can you be part of the vine? If you're not a branch, because this right here takes me to that place. This right here gives me all truth. This right here is the infallible Word of God. It doesn't matter. It may be old, but every one of those that wrote this holy book had the same point.
Yeah.
Every single one. This, there is no other. The wisest book ever written.
There is no other.
Amen.
So why would I listen to someone else tell me? Everything that I've said tonight, I hope you're looking up in your own Bible. Every scripture, read it out, study it out. Because I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to answer for everything that I preach or taught.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Because God gave it to me. Mm-hmm. If it was me, I'd be in trouble. Without being hidden in Christ, there's not much left to live for but the opinions of other people. Or at best, our own opinions.
That's right.
Without God, we are stuck firmly in this world. But I came to tell you that man's opinion, and even your opinion, will never be right over God's truth.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
He's either God in your life or he's not.
Yeah.
He's either God or he's not in your life. Mm-hmm. He's always going to be God. But he gave you freedom of choice just like he did me.
Yeah.
And if I don't choose him, he's
such
not God
blessing
in my life.
Yeah.
If I allow sin in my life and I'm not hidden in Christ and I'm trying to hide something from him and he puts his finger on it, and I have a place. In closing, Brother Chris, if you would please come. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Titus 3 and 5 says this: not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the washing and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not by works. We must choose his way, his yoke, his truth, his love. Not man. Paul said, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer that I live, but Christ that lives in me.
Christ living in me.
If that be true on every one of us, how much different would my life be if I lived as Christ living in me? What does that mean to you? Let your mind think on that for just a moment. If it's Christ living in me instead of me living, then therefore that I'm truly living for Christ. He's living through me. What is Christ going to do through me? What's he going to do? What did Christ do when he walked this earth? He reached. He spoke. He preached. He healed. We often hear, be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's fine. But be as Jesus. With him living through me and you, what great and mighty things can he do? Every single day, I know the business of life. You want to fix for that? Come Wednesday. Brother Chris did a great job. You only missed one class.
Right.
That's what this was.
Right.
Eliminate her. If you're so busy that you're not allowing Jesus to be your focus, then I encourage you tonight, when you come to these altars, rededicate, redirect, and let him truly be the Lord.
Oh, yes. Oh,
let him live through you.
Yes.
I know we get busy. Every one of you. Don't think preachers are immune.
Yes, sir.
Listen, said it this morning. It comes through us before we have to preach it. Amen?
So true.
We're not perfect. But God gives it. We have to deliver it. So I'm asking you now. Are you hiding something? Then you need to talk to Jesus. If you're hidden at him, you want to talk to Jesus. Right? I'm going to ask everyone to come to these altars. Let God do this. Oh, Heavenly Father.